Well, it's been a while since we have had our fireside chat, Mark. We're sitting here by the little fire. Uh-huh. And here it is, tomorrow will be the 15th of April, and they're saying it's going to snow again tomorrow. We thought spring was here. Just shows that sometimes what we think and what God plans are two different things. Now, we're living in a society where probably 90%, if not more, of all the churches are preaching that we're all God's children and that God loves everybody. And God made it possible for all men to be saved. But you say that you wanted to talk about what?
All men won't be saved.
All men won't be saved. Well, you know, it's amazing. People, and I'm not picking on Billy Graham, but he's the one that has... by the way, if you hear some crackling and popping in the background... Rosette's working on some kind of a special project over there, so I don't know what it is. But anyway, Billy Graham has a program, has over the years on his evangelistic program, has got up, and we know what do you think, Mark? What do you think Billy Graham's favorite verse in the whole Bible is?
Whosoever will.
But what verse?
John 3:16.
And you know, it doesn't say whosoever will, does it?
No.
A lot of people say that.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever will. Now, there is a passage in Revelation that says whosoever will take of the water of life freely. But let's just look at what actually John 3:16 says. Let's just go back and look at that. This has been a real tough week for Mark. Mark has had you've had some real spiritual struggles, haven't you, Mark?
Yeah.
And John 3:16. Read that for me, Mark. Read John 3:15. And 16.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Okay, now there's a big difference between whosoever believeth and whosoever will. Because the question that I have to ask is, who are the whosoevers that believe? It doesn't say whosoever will there. It says whosoever believeth. Now, we know that the ability to believe doesn't come from a person's will. We know that the ability to believe does not come from a person's will. Back to that passage in James, it says, of his own
will he begat us.
Yes.
By the word of truth.
Yes. Of his own will he begat us.
Isn't that what it says by the word of truth?
Yes.
Too?
Yes. I mean, it says in another place, it's not of him that
willeth,
nor of him that
runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Right. So then the next question is, well, this believe thing, you know, that is directly connected to faith. And faith is a gift of God. He's the what? Author and
finisher of our faith.
So if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has done the work for us, then that is evidence that he has given us the gift of
faith.
Faith. So, your title again is not all men will be saved or all men won't be saved. But there will be some men that will be saved. And the some that will be saved are the ones that have been given to Christ by the Father. He says, all that the Father
hath given me
will
come to me.
Yes, and those who come to me
I will in no wise cast out.
Right. If we have been given to Christ by the Father, we will come to the Son. Now, we know that, Mark, you've had some struggles. Mark, is it all right if I share with our audience?
Yeah.
Mark is sometimes, he's been with us since he's been 16. And now, how old are you, Mark?
32.
And you've had a real struggle in your life, haven't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes your mind doesn't work right, does it? And it gets to be real frustrating. Can you relate to those, Mark, who have come down to their final years of life that have Alzheimer's?
Not yet.
But, I mean, can you kind of relate to what they go through?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you have similar difficulties when your thoughts are distorted and your thoughts are flighty kind of, right?
Uh-huh.
Going real
yeah.
fast. Well, isn't it comforting to know that if you've been given to Jesus Christ by the Father, that regardless of whether your mind is working right or not, you're still one of His?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be comforting to you. Now, I want you to go back to Psalms. And we're going to look at a couple passages there in Psalms.
What chapter?
I want you to look at the 8th Psalm. Now, one of the things I've always liked to point out to people is that we have all been born and conceived in sin. We have all been estranged from God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But for those that God has shown mercy to, He has given them spiritual life. But God also has those who are His enemies, okay? And His enemies are those you're talking about. Not all will be saved. In fact, there's many different passages in the Bible that say that He will put His enemies under His feet. Okay? Let's read through here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
Isn't that interesting? God says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies. He says, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained.
What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him?
You know, we need to be in awe of God and the fact that He even visited us. He even came as a little babe, born in a manger. Came down. There's a song that Rosette and Mark and I sang here recently called trying to think of it. out of the ivory palaces. He came out of the ivory palaces of glory and came down to the likes of us. He visited us. And he says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field.
The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. But you know, he did not come down to this earth, and he did not show his grace and mercy to all. We see that there's a distinction between those that he has shown his mercy and grace to and those who he has not. Let's go now to the 14th Psalm. Read the first verse of the 14th Psalm.
Fool has said in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good.
The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and see God.
They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
They have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?
There were they in great fear of the guise and the generation of the righteous.
Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad.
So what this tells us here is that the Lord has a people for himself. The Lord has a people for himself that he has shown mercy and grace to. We looked in Noah, he says, Noah found
grace in the eyes of the Lord.
He found grace. It wasn't Noah's own will or his own efforts. God showed Noah grace. Now let's look in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Now this chapter, better than any chapter, tells us who God has shown this wonderful sovereign mercy and grace to. Let's just read through this. Comfort ye my people, saith your God.
Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. For her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up in the high mountain, into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Let's see here, Mark. Where were you? I had to switch my glasses.
Verse 11.
Okay. Had to get on a little bit more powerful glasses there. My eyes are getting a little bad. Okay, we're ready for verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now I want to stop there for a minute. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful verse? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That's grace. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. That's grace. And carry them. That's grace in his bosom. And shall gently lead them, those that are with young. Christ is exemplified many times in the Bible as the good shepherd. The shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And I and my Father are one. Okay, let's continue reading there. Verse 12.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth with a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance?
Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? You know, there's many people out there that want to try to tell the Lord what to do. Try to say, you know, if you let Jesus do this, or if you let Jesus do that, let Jesus into your heart. You know, I like to sing that song, Have Thine Own Way, like this. You will have your own way, Lord. You will have your own way. You art the potter. We art the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. He will have his way. With whom took ye counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? We've kind of got things backwards in our world, in our theological construct. The Arminian construct is, you know, we have to give God permission or he can't do anything. But that's not God. It says here, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught him? Okay, read verse 15.
Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, or counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing.
Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering.
All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity.
Can you imagine somebody being counted less than nothing? I mean, that's... The workman melteth a graven image. I'm sorry. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him?
The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains.
He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that spreadeth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity.
Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble.
To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by all, by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power. Not one faileth. You know, we're living in a time when the schools the National Education Association is promoting evolution as a science.
Mm-hmm.
And but here we got a totally different story. It says that he created all these things. Verse 27.
Why sayest thou, Jacob, speakest of Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?
Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither be is weary? There is no searching of his understanding.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength.
Doesn't that give you courage?
Yeah.
He's the one that is going to help you each day. He's going to give you power to the faint, strength. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Well, that must be a great comfort to us to know that. Go back to the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Actually, first go to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah and read the 7th verse for me there.
Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him.
Okay, now read the 21st verse.
This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise.
Okay, now in the 44th verse, 44th chapter, read the 21st verse.
Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I inform thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me.
Okay. So here we see that God is the one that does these things. Now read verse 24.
Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed me from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself.
Okay, now I want you to go over to the 46th chapter of Isaiah. I want you to read the 10th verse there.
Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Seeing my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Now, in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, Christ likens his relationship to his sheep to be even greater than a mother with her child. Read the 5th verse there.
Now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength.
And the 15th and 16th verse.
The woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me.
Well, that's comforting, isn't it?
Yeah.
To know that God has done all the work in salvation. And that when we wander away from the fold, that God is there underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. He will not fail us. We failed Him many, many times. And we've wandered from the fold. But it's nice to know that the salvation that God has given us is everlasting, it's eternal. If our mind fails us, if we lose all ability to cognitively process information at times, you know, there are those that are born in a total inability to process information. They're born, you know, mentally incapacitated. There are those that are born without the ability to have judgment or to think at all. And but here's what we know. Jesus Christ is not limited. He's over all of His creation. He's over all things. And He has chosen a people for Himself. And you know, He can cause even the baby, even the infant, He can give the baby faith. We see John the Baptist was leaped while he was yet in his mother's womb. So, He laid down His life for His sheep. Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sins. And so we realize that the Spirit of God is the one that has regenerated all of His sheep. And you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, that man can be so haughty and so lofty in his thoughts and not bow his knee before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has done all the work in salvation. We know, according to the Bible, that not all men will be saved. We know that that hell was created for the devil and his angels, but we also know that those who have rejected Jesus Christ and have spurned the gospel and will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But those who Christ has ransomed, for those whom Christ has paid the penalty for those who have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, for those that Scripture says that He will not impute their sins unto them, we can glory in the fact that Jesus paid it all, and that there's not anything that we can do to add to what He's done. There's nothing we can do. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to Thy cross I cling. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, safe from wrath, and make me sure. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Father, we thank You to know in our heart of hearts that You have given us Your Spirit and Your Word. And even when we go through great travail and great conflict in our spirit, in our minds, and Satan would come against us and attack us and would cause us to question everything regarding our faith, and even when we succumb to sin, it's comforting to know that the life that You gave us was eternal life, not temporary life, and that Your blood, Your precious blood, cleanses us from all sin, and that we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that You will not impute our sins to us. We're thankful for this, and we look forward to the day when we will be with you in paradise. We ask that you would go with us now and comfort our hearts with these thoughts. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and for your glory alone. Amen.